Hello and welcome. This is Sharon. I'm bringing you the pantograph for today, Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. As is our practice, we'll begin our reading on the front page, Living It Up in Normal, free family Zumba class, part of the normal live events this summer. Instructor Jessica Hunt led a family Zumba class Tuesday during the normal Live for Kids at Connie Link Amphitheater, 621 South Linden Street in Normal. Upcoming normal live events include Live at Uptown Circle with Black Velvet, a free all-ages show from 6 to 7:30 p.m. this evening. Normal Live Kids, featuring singing and dancing with Mr. Bill from 10 to 11 a.m. on Thursday, tomorrow at Connie Link Amphitheater. To see more events, visit normalil.gov/live. Local business, Janet's Cakes owner seeks a successor. Grethy wants buyer to carry on mother's flavorful legacy. Cindy Grethy, owner of Janet's Cakes and Catering in Bloomington, is looking to sell the popular bakery business founded by her mother and aunt 38 years ago. However, Grethy doesn't plan to go anywhere until she finds a dedicated person to take over the shop and continue its legacy. She also said she has had a lot of interest from potential buyers and people who want her recipe for her almond frosting paired with white cake. I just thought it was time to get a move on, and my passion is to find somebody that has the same work ethic, she said, adding she's looking for someone who wants to see it succeed as well and to keep going. You know, put your own twist on it. That's okay, but I want to keep the core stuff the same if possible. That's my goal. Grethy, who was born and raised in Normal, said she has thought about this for some time. She is nearing retirement and wants to be able to relax, take a vacation, and enjoy time with her grandchildren, she added. This week has just been like overwhelming, she said. Of the time since she posted a social media announcement on June 1st. People have just been so encouraging and supportive. I can't even begin to tell you. It's like we're going to miss you, but we're so happy for you. Grethy's mother, Janet Kletz, ran a home-based business with her sister, Carol Wolf, for about 10 years before opening Janet's Cakes and Catering in 1988 in a retail location on Market Street in Bloomington. Wolf died before Kletz opened the brick-and-mortar business. Janet's Cakes and Catering remained on Market Street for 18 years before moving in 2006 to its current location at 504 Guido Circle. Grethy said her mom and her aunt came from a big family, so when anyone got married, they could do everything from sewing dresses to making the food, noting her mom even made her own wedding dress. But they couldn't make wedding cakes, so they started taking cake decorating classes. People would come to the Kletz family home and order cakes when Grethy was in high school, and the business quickly spread through word of mouth. Once they had the brick-and-mortar store, Kletz did all the decorating, and Grethy did all the baking alongside her mom. Kletz died in May 2011, but Grethy decided to continue the business, and she has been running it herself for the last 15 years. I hope to get somebody in here that knows what they're doing. They'll have all the recipes. They'll be able to continue that. I would like to be able to walk away or help them through that transition, she said. I would stay on because I know 85% of the people that walk through that door, she added. I definitely want it to be the same. The bakery produces about 75 custom cake orders per week, which doesn't include the additional items sold from the bakery case on a regular basis. The business also sells 600 cake squares a week, in addition to cupcakes, cookies, pies, cheesecakes, and other baked goods. Janet's is known for its signature almond frosting with white cake, which was Klutz's favorite. Grethy said customers have called asking for the recipe, but they still can buy the frosting by the tub in the store. "I think the spirit is there, and if people know that, those are going to be the people that are going to come forward. This would be ideal for a couple of people to come together and do it," she said. "The sky is the limit, and it would just be wonderful, and the answer to my prayers to find somebody that had that to honor my mom as well." The business has already received several calls from potential buyers, but Grethy joked she may have to interview them more than they would her. With many people calling to ask when or why she is selling, she wants to reassure customers she is not going anywhere until she can find a buyer, as there is no timeline. Those who are interested in taking over Janet's can contact the store by calling 309-664-0684. Janet's will continue to operate during their regular business hours, which are 7:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Tuesday through Friday, and 7:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. on Saturday. Grethy recommends at least a week's notice for any custom cake order. Their website is janetcakes.net link, or you can also find them on Facebook.com, Janet's Cakes, Inc. Stormy hot days are ahead for Bloomington Normal. Meteorologist says take care in the heat and humidity. Bloomington Normal and McLean County may have avoided the worst of Monday's flash flooding, but meteorologists say the area is not entirely done with storms as central Illinois heads into a hot, humid, and stormy week. John Bumgardner, a meteorologist at the National Weather Service in Lincoln, said on Monday afternoon the main weather concern for Bloomington, Normal, and McLean County had been flash flooding, but the heaviest rainfall had shifted away from the Twin Cities. "The rain is moving out, so there's a little bit of a break," Bumgardner said. Some parts of central Illinois had already received 3 to 4 inches of rain in a short period of time on Monday, Bumgardner said, adding there had been reports of standing water in yards and road closures in those areas. The National Weather Service predicts scattered, potentially strong thunderstorms throughout the week in central Illinois, with higher chances of such storms today, Wednesday, and especially on Thursday. Localized flooding also remains a concern. The Weather Service also said warm and humid weather will peak in the middle of the week, with heat index values over 100 degrees possibly today across parts of central Illinois. High temperatures in Bloomington are expected to reach up to 90 degrees today, but the humidity will make conditions feel hotter. Bumgardner called it the first heat wave of the season. The meteorologist encouraged residents not to underestimate the heat, especially those without air conditioning, pregnant women, outdoor workers, and people exercising outdoors. He said people should take breaks in the shade and get into air conditioning when possible. He also urged people to remember the National Weather Service safety message, "Look before you lock," especially with children and pets in vehicles. The next severe weather concern could come tonight and tomorrow. Wednesday evening storms are expected mainly along and northwest of the Illinois River, with possible wind gusts over 60 miles per hour, scattered large hail, and a tornado risk. The Thursday outlook for most of central and southeast Illinois notes potential hazards, including damaging wind gusts of 60 to 70 miles per hour, large hail over 1 inch, and tornadoes. Wednesday night storms developing upstream in Iowa and Minnesota could move into Illinois if they hold together, Baumgartner said. If they do reach the Bloomington-Normal area, these storms could bring strong winds and frequent lightning. Thursday appears to have the better chance for the stronger storms, Baumgartner said, as a cold front moves into the area. Damaging winds are the main concern, he said, but storms could produce large hail before merging into a line. He also said a low tornado risk is seen because of increased wind shear. Residents can monitor updated forecasts, watches, and warnings from the National Weather Service as the week's weather pattern develops by visiting weather.gov/ILX. Trial opens for fatal shooting. A Bloomington man killed his former friend out of anger, a prosecutor told a McLean County jury, opening a murder trial for a 2021 fatal shooting. Osmond McLaurin Jr., 29, is accused of fatally shooting Jeffrey Rory outside his apartment in the 800 block of East Washington Street in Bloomington. Bloomington police previously said officers were dispatched shortly after 9 p.m. on November 4, 2021, and found 30-year-old Rory lying in a courtyard with gunshot wounds. Neighbors told police they heard 4 or 5 gunshots. During opening arguments Monday, First Assistant State's Attorney Brad Rigdon said, although there were no suspects on scene that night, that doesn't mean suspects left the area without a trace. McLaurin is charged with 3 counts of first-degree murder and 2 counts of unlawful possession of a weapon by a felon in the death of 30-year-old Rowry, also of Bloomington. He appeared Monday before Judge Jason Chambers for a jury trial. A 12-person jury was selected and sworn in before noon, and the trial proceeded with opening statements around 2:30 p.m. McLaurin was charged in June 2023 and has remained in custody. Rigdon said Bloomington investigators talked to witnesses in the area and were able to piece together key information that led to identifying McLaurin as the shooter. The prosecutor said the jury will see evidence presented during the trial that will point to McLaurin, including footage from surveillance videos and cell phone data that places the defendant at the scene of the crime. Rigdon said the evidence will also show McLaurin handled a gun consistent with the murder weapon less than an hour before the shooting. McLaurin also suffered a gunshot wound the night of Rowry's death, and Rigdon said the state believes he shot himself after shooting Rowry. McLaurin was taken to a Peoria hospital where his injuries were treated. He told officials what had happened, which Rigdon said was a made-up story with no evidence to support it. When you hear through the testimony a recording of the defendant's statements, you'll start hearing the dishonesty, the made-up facts, Rigdon said. However, McLean County Public Defender Ron Lewis told the jury the state had nothing to back its case but a theory. During his opening statements, Lewis said the contested issue in this trial is the murder charges, calling the state's case against McLaurin just a theory, speculation, and unsupported by evidence. Lewis noted the jury will see unflattering evidence related to McLaurin, but he said the jury will be asked to evaluate the facts based on the evidence or lack thereof. The chief public defender also emphasized that no independent witness or video captured the shooting. Lewis advised the jury to pay attention to the timestamps of the evidence and look for gaps in the state's theory. The evidence will show that Osmond was also a victim of a shooting, Lewis said. After the opening statements, the prosecution called its first four witnesses to testify: two neighbors who said they heard gunshots and two police officers. Officer Bryce McCall testified he was the first to arrive on scene after the shooting, and he talked to a neighbor. That neighbor testified that he heard several gunshots in rapid succession before going outside and to find Rowery on the ground. The neighbor testified that when he opened his front door, he saw one person on the ground and one person running toward an alley. Assistant Public Defender Vivi Fahn questioned his assertion that he saw a suspect. She played footage recorded on McCall's body camera, which showed him saying he didn't see anything. Another neighbor testified she had heard four or five gunshots from inside her house on Jefferson Street. The prosecution played footage from the security camera on her back porch, which captured a car driving away from the area, leaving the alley behind the Washington Street apartments at 8:55 p.m. During Rigdon's opening statement, he had said the jury would see footage of a getaway car fleeing after the shooting. A former Peoria police officer also testified Monday, having responded to the hospital after McLaurin came to the emergency room with a gunshot to his leg. The prosecution played footage from his body-worn camera, which showed McLaurin saying a stranger had shot him in Peoria, and a stranger had picked him up and taken him to the hospital. The state was expected to continue its case into Tuesday and Wednesday. The attorneys have estimated that this trial will last 1 week. Today's Flick Fact Question: becoming an Illinois state police officer requires at least 640 hours of training. Becoming an EMT requires at least 120 hours. Which profession requires more? About 1,500 hours of training before receiving a license. Is it 1, emergency room doctor, 2, firefighter, 3, real estate agent, or 4, barber, beautician? And the answer is it's 4, a barber or a beautician. According to a report by the Chicago Tribune, Illinois requires approximately 1,500 hours of training, roughly the same number required to become a commercial airline pilot. The requirement dates back to an era when barbers were considered a branch of surgery because they cut part of the human body, namely hair. From the back pages of the past pages of the Pantograph, How Time Flies Locally. 100 years ago, on June 10, 1926. At a meeting of the board of directors, the contract was awarded for remodeling of the Withers Library Building at the northeast corner of Washington and East Street. The West Side Planning Mill Company was given the job, and the bid was $33,206. This does not include plumbing, heating, or illumination. 75 years ago, on June 10, 1951, Ozark Airlines announced a reduction of service on the Moline to Indianapolis route. Lack of traffic income made a cut of 2 planes a day from the 4 planes scheduled. Only 3 planes planes land in Bloomington. The fourth passes over because of lack of night landing facilities. 50 years ago, on June 10, 1976, in 3.5 hours, 2 men starting with raw materials of springs and fabric can turn out 3 standard-size mattresses. Dan Burwell, owner of Bloomington Mattress Factory at 507 North Main Street, has been making mattresses for 8 years. He opened the Bloomington store last year. And 25 years ago today, June 10th, 2001, McLean County would be hard-pressed to find a regional jail partner in central Illinois. A regional jail could be more hassle than it's worth, said Mike Waterworth, jail superintendent in Woodford County, where a new 82-bed facility can be found. Every sheriff wants to run his own facility with his own people. That's the way it is across the area, where there appears to be no interest in the regional jail concept that McLean County board member Terry Renner said last week should be explored as a possible cost savings plan. Renner's remarks came as county officials were studying a lengthy report by LZT Associates on various options for expanding the jail that would cost anywhere from $39 million to $57 million. Bloomington City Council, $633,000 in tax incentives okayed. Jimmy John's franchise offices to use the Clay Dooley Building. The former Clay Dooley Building at 307 East Grove Street, which has been vacant for the last 8 years, soon will be the corporate headquarters of one of the Jimmy John's sandwich chain's fastest-growing franchise operators. On Monday, the Bloomington City Council approved tax incentives not to exceed roughly $632,925 to help a $4.2 million redevelopment of the site by Premium Loaves, which has more than 120 locations across 6 states. Repair and remodeling work would include repairing and tuck-pointing the external faces, replacing heating, ventilation, and air conditioning systems, performing plumbing and electrical work, and completing any other work required to bring the building up to modern standards of safety. Once finished, the franchise organization would operate on the second floor of the 25,000-square-foot space and would leave room for commercial retail space on the ground floor. Bloomington City Manager Jeff Juergens said the project represents another major investment in downtown Bloomington. The agreement was approved unanimously by the City Council. Samantha Mlott, economic development advocate for Bloomington, said the business's original space at 1717 Fort Jesse Road in Normal is not large enough to accommodate all 22 of its employees. Most of the staff members were working remotely. However, the Clay Dooley Building is not only big enough to fit Premium Loaves' entire staff, but it also has room for growth as the company expands its footprint. They've been looking for quite a while for the best space for them, Mlott said, but this one kind of checked all the boxes. The developer advised the city that it is not economically feasible to undertake the project without financial assistance. Therefore, the city agreed to offer the developer 75% of the incremental property tax revenue generated from operating within the Bloomington's downtown tax increment financing district. However, the amount is not to exceed 15% of the project's total cost, or roughly $632,925 through the life of the TIF district. In a TIF district, additional property tax money generated by improvements that raise property values goes into a dedicated redevelopment fund. In this case, the city will return 75% of that money up to the predetermined cap to the owner. The developer is committed to completing the project and maintaining occupancy by January 2028. The Clay Dooley Building has been vacant since 2018 and has been a prominent landmark on downtown's southeast side. The 25,000 square foot building dates back to 1945 and served as a succession of car dealerships. Clay Dooley Tire and Auto took over the property in 1987, operating as a service center until it closed in 2018. Zoo to close and prep for Brew's event. Miller Park Zoo will close at noon on Saturday to prepare for its Brews at the Zoo event from 3 to 7 p.m. Concessions will not be open Saturday morning, but the Petting Zoo miniature golf course will have regular hours. Brews at the Zoo will give attendees the chance to sample beer from local and regional breweries and food from local restaurants while learning about the variety of animals who live at the zoo. Admission tickets, which are available on the Miller Park Zoological Society website, include entry to the zoo, a souvenir tasting glass, 4 drink samples, and 2 food samples. Mocktails and other non-alcoholic beverages are also available. America 250 Drone Show. The City of Bloomington and Town of Normal are inviting residents to a special America 250 celebration on July 2nd at the Interstate Center, which will be highlighted by a professionally choreographed drone show. Gates will open at 6 p.m. with food trucks, family activities, and live music from 7 to 9 p.m. from Front Street Collective. Bloomington Bison Kids Zone and Iron Coyote will offer a variety of kid-friendly activities. The event is free and open to the public. This is a chance to bring people together around a once-in-a-generation milestone, Bloomington Mayor Dan Brady said in a news release. We're excited to partner with the Town of Normal, community sponsors, and local organizations to create an event people will remember. The 300 Drone Light Show begins at 9 p.m. and will feature patriotic imagery and community-inspired visuals to commemorate the nation's 250th anniversary. The event is sponsored by State Farm, O'Brien Auto Group, Cybernautic, Stark Excavating, York Public Adjusting, Liuna, the Gibson Area Hospital and Health Services, and other community partners. We'll take a short break now and then return with the second half of the Pantograph for Wednesday, June 10th, 2026. Please stay tuned.